Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And we are excited and ready to dive right into God's word. We are in the midst of a sermon series that we have been doing for the past 5 or 6 weeks now, entitled Drawing Closer to God. Drawing Closer to God. If this is your first time watching one of the messages in our sermon series, I encourage you and invite you to go back and to listen to or view the other messages prior to this message. I'm telling you, I know that you will be blessed by what we're said during those messages. A lot of great biblical principles and things I think that will help you. So when we talk about drawing closer to God, you all, we've been focusing specifically on how God has made it possible for us to draw closer to Him in relationship through engaging in the various biblical spiritual disciplines that we find throughout Scripture, those disciplines being prayer, solitude, fasting, reading the Word of God, silence. And so we've just been focusing on the spiritual disciplines and the benefits and the importance that they play. The first spiritual discipline that we started with and that we're still focusing on, which is by far the most important spiritual discipline, and that is our intake of the Word of God. And so we talked about the importance of hearing the Word, you know, that we put ourselves in a position where we are listening to the Word of God, whether that be through being in a small group, whether that be through you listening to one of the Bible apps, or whether that be through Sunday morning worship services, online, digital, or in person for those congregations that are in the process or have started back or will be starting back doing in-person worship. So it's important to hear the Word of God, the importance of reading the Word of God. And actually last week, we talked about the importance of when we read the Word of God, meditating on the Word and memorizing the Word of God, which are two spiritual disciplines within the spiritual discipline of our intake of God's Word. Something that you definitely want to incorporate into your daily time of reading God's word. That's memorizing and meditating on God's word. And so today we're going to continue our sermon series. Again, we invite you to go and to listen to those past messages in this sermon series. If you have not had a chance to listen to those yet, you can find all of those on our online worship experience page. All you have to do is just scroll throughout the page and you'll see we have each date in order, and those messages are down there. And so you can view those. If you're on our YouTube channel, you'll find those messages on our YouTube channel as well. So today, you all, and I'm excited and I'm pumped up because we're talking about a discipline within the spiritual discipline of our intake of God's word that I love and I have a passion for, and that is studying the word of God. Studying the word of God. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, studying the word of God. And so I want to start here, you all, just like when it comes to reading the word of God, when it comes to studying the word of God, there's various reasons as to why people do not study the word of God. And I just want to give you some of the more common reasons as to why people do not study the word of God. These are some reasons that you yourself may say that you've heard before. These may be some reasons at one point in time when you did not study the Bible that you had, or if you don't study the Bible now, this may be, you know, some of these reasons may be why you don't study the Bible. And here we go, you all. One of the number one reasons that people say they don't study the Bible is they feel that the Bible is irrelevant. Yes, they feel that the Bible is irrelevant to what they are going through in the 21st century. And part of the reason that some people feel this way is because they look at the Bible, which in my opinion is not a proper way to look at the Bible. They look at the Bible as being old and archaic. And they say that because the Bible was written thousands of years ago, and because it was not written to us and it was written in a different culture during a different time, it really can't help me deal with the daily issues that I deal with in life. Come on, somebody, walk with me right now. There's somebody right now who's saying, how can the Bible help me? I'm a single parent, or I'm married. Both myself and my spouse, we lost our jobs. Our mortgage needs to be paid. This corona pandemic has made life more harder than what it was. So what can the Bible teach me or tell me or speak to me about on how to navigate through something that I'm going through right now in the 21st century. Let me tell you something. The Bible has a lot to say about what you are going through because God created you. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? That's one of the things that I love about the Word of God is that you cannot put an expiration on the scriptures. Somebody better walk with me right now. There is no expiration on the Word of God because God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. So y'all better please understand right now. Yes, he understands what you're going through. Yes, he knows how to help you navigate. What he wants you to do is humble yourself and call upon him, and he will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So the Word of God is relevant to what we go through, despite what some people believe and how they feel. Another one of the reasons that some people do not study the Word of God is because they simply say, you know, I don't know how. I don't know how. I don't know what book to start with, or I don't have a method that someone taught me that's an effective method of studying the scriptures. And so that's a reason for some people as to why they do not study the Word. Then for some people, they just say, listen, I don't study the word of God because I don't like to read. I don't like to study. And that's just it, period. Well, for you, I say and I pray that God will touch your heart one day so that your attitude will change towards his Word. And so despite the number of reasons that people give as to why they do not study the Word of God, those reasons are there. But what we want to focus on and what we want to lay a foundation for today, you all, is I want to share with you an effective method of Bible study that I've learned and that I employ and I use to this. I use this day and I've used for some time now to help me with unlocking the truths and the nuggets in God's Word so that I can apply God's words and the kingdom principles to every area of my life so that I can look more like Jesus in my thought, my attitudes, and my behavior. And that method of Bible study I want to talk to you about today. But before we dive into that and land that foundation, there's two things I want to share with you on why we should study the Bible. Two reasons. There's a lot of reasons that we can give, but I just want to specifically give two reasons in particular. Why should we study the Bible? There are two reasons as to why we should study the Bible. Two reasons. First reason, Bible study is essential for our spiritual growth. Did you hear me when I say that? Bible study is essential for our spiritual growth, just like eating food is essential for your physical growth and health and maintaining your body and your upkeep. Same when it comes to our spiritual growth. I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And if you've watched a number of the videos in this sermon series, you know the passage of scripture that I'm about to reference. I've referenced it several times, and I'm going to reference it again. A powerful passage of scripture that talks about Bible study or gives reference to the essential aspect of, for our spiritual growth as it relates to Bible study. And it is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And it reads as such. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow. There you go right there, you all, that you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So in this passage of scripture, you have the apostle Peter. Yes, the same Peter who walked with Jesus. Yes, the same Peter who denied Jesus. Yes, the same Peter who cursed the day that he ever even knew Jesus. This Peter who was redeemed by God, redeemed by Jesus. This Peter who Jesus told him, feed my sheep. This Peter who preached on the day of Pentecost, and the scripture says in the book of Acts that above 3,000 people were saved on that day. This Peter says in this passage of scripture, he says, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk. Now, when you read this passage of scripture within its context, you see that Peter is talking about the Word of God. He compares. He compares the type of desire that we should have as believers in the body of Christ to a baby, an infant. Like an infant longs for the milk from its mother, Peter says we ought to long for that same milk, figuratively speaking, as it relates to the word of God, because of the growth that it brings to us, the spiritual growth. So again, Bible study is important because it is essential for our spiritual growth. I'm going to tell you right now, so said I before, now say I again. If you want to see, or if you want to experience getting closer to God, getting deeper in fellowship and relationship with God, being able to walk and live according to the Holy Spirit, I double dare you, I double dog dare you, watch out now, to get into studying the word of God. Let me tell you something. Your walk with the Lord, your understanding of the scriptures, and more importantly, watch this, you all, more importantly, your righteousness in terms of lining up according to how God wants you to live is going to go to a whole nother level when we're reading and we're studying the word of God and applying it, don't forget that, to our daily life. Amen. Secondly, when it comes to why I study the Bible, secondly, you all, is because it is essential to spiritual effectiveness. It is essential to spiritual effectiveness. Remember, like I told you, here at Out of Love Ministries, I don't talk off the top of my head. I'm going to give you a book, chapter, and verse to go along with what I'm saying. So here's your book, chapter, and verse right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, which is a passage of scripture that I've referenced before doing this study of drawing closer to God, and I'm going to continue to reference it. It's a passage of scripture, hint, 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 that you would do well to commit to memory, that you would do well to meditate on day and night. And here's what Paul says to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable, meaning it's useful. Well, what is it useful for? It's useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So why study the Bible? So that we can be effective when it comes to our spirituality. Spiritual effectiveness is another reason why we study the word of God. Amen, amen, and amen. So here's what I will have you all to know, you all. Listen to me as we transition. If you are a believer, and if you tell me you read and study your Bible, then that means that you have a method of how you go about studying the word of God. Method simply means you have a system, you have an approach. Now, whether you learned this method or approach from somebody who taught you, or whether you watched something on YouTube and somebody who was a believer were talking about different Bible study methods, or whether you read about it, or whether you just over time developed your own systematic way of how you study the scriptures, everybody who is a believer who reads the Bible, you have a method of how you go about studying the Bible. But here's my question to you, and here's the challenge that I have. Is your method the most effective method? I'm not speaking down to the method that you have. I'm asking a question. Is your method the most effective method to be able to get out of the word of God what God will have you to get out? Is it the most effective method to help you with your spiritual growth and development as you walk with the Lord? Is it the most effective Bible study method to help you with your spiritual effectiveness as a servant of God? Are you interested in me sharing with you a method of studying the scriptures that you may perhaps have heard of, that you may have perhaps you know about because you use it, or you may say, you know what, I never heard of that method before. That's what I want to share with you, because here's what I want you all to understand, and this is so important, you all. This is so important that I don't even want to mess it up. I want to read it the way it pops up and the way I see it. It's that old proverb, and I want you to tell me if you've heard this old proverb before. Here's the proverb. It says, give a man a fish and you will feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you will feed him for a lifetime. I want to read that again. Now listen, you all, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. A lifetime, you all. That is important. Because what that proverb is saying is, listen, it's more effective if you teach somebody how to do something on their own than you doing something for them. And I'm sorry, you all, and I have to say this, and y'all forgive me, for I know what I do. But I gotta say this, because I need you to be helped. I got to help somebody, and I can't help you by not telling you the truth. I want you to understand something. I believe one of the biggest injustices that the church collectively has done to believers is we have failed to teach the people of God how to fish. Oh, y'all ain't with me right now. I know y'all ain't with me. We have failed to teach the people of God how to fish. What do you mean, Kiwan, we have failed? I'm talking specifically about the word of God. Listen, we have taught the people how to depend so much on the preached word by the pastor. How to depend so much on the word taught by the pastor and the church leaders, to the point where many people don't even know how to open up the word of God for themselves and feed their soul. Come on, somebody, walk with me right now. That's what I mean when I said we have failed. The Bible teaches that the responsibility of the pastor, the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the shepherds is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's my responsibility as a leader within Out of Love Ministries, is to equip the members of Out of Love Ministries and every other person I come in contact with, to equip them for the work of the ministry. See, I equip you when I don't just teach you. I equip you when I teach you how to fish. You understand what I'm saying? When I teach you how to fish, when I talk to you and explain to you the different types of fish you can catch with the different types of bait, when I teach you and talk to you about the day of time and how that impacts where you're fishing and where you go to find the fish and different instruments and things of that nature and equipment that you're going to need. It's the same thing when it comes to reading the word of God. I like to teach people and equip them on how to effectively read and study the word of God so you can hear what God is saying to you, so that you can apply the word of God to your life. Hello, somebody. And so you can turn around and you can teach somebody else how to study the word of God, and it can go on and on and on. So true deliverance and breakthrough can take place, you all. Come on, somebody. Can anybody, do you feel what I'm talking about and what I'm saying, you all? I'm serious. I get so sick and tired of seeing believers get so caught up in the emotionality of church. Listen to me, you all. I believe in emotions. The Bible tells us to be expressive in our worship to God. You understand what I'm saying? David danced before the Lord with all his might. The Bible says, oh, clap your hand. I mean, a number of passages of scriptures that teach us how to be emotionally expressive. But the unfortunate thing, you all, is that a lot of times when people go to church or they're participating in the worship experience, they're just doing it for an emotional high. Do you understand what I'm saying? What happens when you leave the church? And you got to deal with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. What happens when you have to deal with the day-to-day life of living? You got to know how to get into the Word of God for yourself. And he would thus saith the Lord. And make sure that when you get into the Word, that you properly, correctly interpret it within its right context, so that when you go to apply the Word to a specific area of your life, you make sure that you're applying it correctly. Y'all better walk with me right now. And so the method of Bible study that I want to talk to you all about and that I want to share with you, this method is called the inductive Bible study method. The inductive Bible study method. The inductive Bible study method. And here's a definition that I want to give you of this method of Bible study. Listen to this. Inductive Bible study. An evidence approach to studying the Bible, whereby one begins by gathering evidence from the Bible and allowing the evidence to lead them to their conclusions. Let me repeat this again. Here's what inductive Bible study is. It's an evidence approach to studying the Bible, whereby one begins by gathering evidence from the Bible and allowing the evidence to lead them to their conclusions. I'm going to say one more thing and then I'm going to explain that. In inductive Bible study method, you allow the Bible to serve as your guide, not your own presuppositions. Okay, let me explain what I mean. So when we talk about inductive Bible study method or inductive reasoning, what that means is that when I'm going to take an approach where I'm going to set aside as best I can my preconceived notions or presuppositions, meaning that I'm not going to come to the Bible already with my conclusions on what I think a particular passage of scripture means. I'm not going to read into that passage what it means. I'm not going to go to the Bible and I'm not going to find passages of scripture to intentionally support a position that I have when I have not taken the time to allow the evidence from the scriptures to lead me to my conclusions. So again, in inductive Bible study says, I'm gonna start with the Bible. I'm gonna read the scriptures and I'm going to follow a method, a systematic method that is going to help me, whereby I evaluate the evidence and I gather and collect data from the scriptures, and that's going to lead me to my conclusion, rather than me already coming to the scriptures and saying, okay, I already know what the Bible has to say about marriage, and then go find passages of scripture in here that support a position that I have. See, one of the number one reasons, I want y'all to stay with me, you all, one of the number one reasons why people misinterpret scripture, which leads to them misapplying it to their life, is because they approach the scripture from a perspective of deductive reasoning. Now, there's nothing wrong with deductive reasoning when used within the proper context and at the proper time. But when it comes to Bible study, because what we're really trying to do, you all, whenever we read the Word of God, we're trying to get down to the intended meaning. What was the intended meaning of the original author when he wrote what he wrote to its original audience? What was Paul trying to communicate to the people or to the church in Ephesus when he penned his letter? What was Luke, the physician, trying to communicate to Theophilus when he wrote the book of Acts, when he penned his gospel, the gospel according to Luke? See, we're trying to get to the intended meaning. What was the intended meaning of what the author was trying to communicate to the original recipients? And in order for us to do that, we got to start with the evidence that we have, which is the scriptures, and allow that to drive us to the conclusion, not the other way around. So as I was saying, a lot of times people misinterpret the Bible because they read into the Bible what they want to read into the Bible. They already have a position. They're dogmatic about something. So they go to the Bible looking for passages to prove a position that they have When in turn, you don't never want to use the scripture like that. You let the Bible speak for itself. Watch this, you all, from practicing what we call proper biblical hermeneutics, which simply means proper biblical interpretive techniques. And these are skills that you can develop over time. So inductive Bible study means that we're taking an approach that is evidence-based. Again, as I've said, and I want to read this, a deductive approach is this, is studying the Bible. It's when you're studying the Bible and you start with certain assumptions and beliefs, and people typically look for biblical passage to support their theological position on a specific subject matter or issue. Again, in deductive Bible study, you're not starting with the evidence. You're starting with preconceived notions and conclusions that you have already developed without even going to the scriptures to see what the scriptures have to say about a particular matter. And that can be very, very dangerous. That can be very, very dangerous. So when we talk about, and we're almost done, you all, when we talk about inductive Bible study, please understand this, you all. If you go type in inductive Bible study, you're going to pull up a plethora of information. And in that information, you're going to find a name of a number of different men and women of God who the Lord used mightily throughout the history of the church, who the Lord is still using right now, who have written some great literature, great books on the inductive Bible study approach. Some of those persons that you will find will be Robert Traynor, who was a professor. He's no longer with us. He went on to glory. You'll also read about Professor Howard Hendricks from Dallas Theological Seminary, who wrote a book which I will be using and referring to, using as a reference throughout this session and this study that we're going to be doing on inductive Bible study. And that book that he wrote, you all, is called Living by the Book. Living by the Book, The Art and Science of Reading the Bible. And that's going to be one of our giveaways throughout this sermon series that we want to be able to bless some of you all with. And then also you have Kay Arthur, who's an international Bible teacher. In fact, Kay Arthur, now let me tell you something, this is a bad sister. Do you hear me? She developed a ministry, I think it's called Precepts International Ministry, where if you just go in and type in Kay Arthur, it'll take you to her website, and she's devoted the better part of her entire life to teaching this method of studying the scripture, the inductive Bible study method. And she is an awesome teacher. And I actually have one of her books, which she wrote a book called How to Study the Bible. And so, again, there are people who have spoken about this subject. And I said this, you all, because I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. If something has already been developed to help us, especially in our spiritual growth and development, I want to simply know how to tap into it and how I can use the principles to help me with my spiritual growth and development. And I pray and hope that you all encourage as we do this throughout this series. I got a couple more things to say, you all, as I conclude. And then next week, we're going to jump into it. Now, some of you all might be saying, now, see, I thought he was going to start with the inductive Bible study method this week. No, not this week. I just wanted to lay a little foundation, you all. Got to build up. Next week, we're going to jump into it head first. But I want to go ahead and start this way to go ahead and give you something to look forward to as well. When it comes to the inductive Bible study method, it's a three-step process. Now, I like to use the word movement. It's a three-step movement that is interconnected. And the image that I want you to get, and I'll probably, for those of you all who are watching the YouTube video, I'll probably try to find a picture to put up there. But the image I want you to get is, think about three circles. And all of those three circles are connected to each other, whereby they overlap because they're in each other. Understand what I'm saying? They're connected to each other. That's how I want you to view the inductive Bible study method. I say this because you're going to find yourself moving from step one to step two. Then you may have to go back from step two to back to one. Or you'll find yourself going from step two to three. Then you'll go from three to one, three to two. So it's a steady movement where you're going back and forth, definitely when you have to. So here are the three steps I want to give you all when it comes to the inductive Bible study method. Step one is observation. Observation. And in this step of observation, here's the question that you're posing. What do I see? When I open up a particular passage of scripture and I'm reading that particular passage of scripture, what do I see? And we're going to talk more next week about what do I see, because it's a number of different things within that first step of what do I see. So you ask the question, what do I see? And please do not underestimate the power of observation, you all. Do not underestimate the power of observation, because observation, a person's ability to observe something, sometimes that's what separates people from being good, great, or exceptional in certain aspects. What do you mean, Kiwan? I'll use football as an example, if you all don't mind. When it comes to running backs, do you not know that you have some running backs who have played professional football who, when it comes to their vision, they're able to see on the field. They're able to see the hole, the gap that they need to run to. And because they have superb vision and they can see well, they know where to go, how to move, and they hit that hole. But then you have some running backs who may not have that same ability of observation or keen skill to be able to see that hole, to hit that gap and run through that gap like other running backs. So observation is extremely important. So observation in the inductive Bible study approach says, what do I see in this passage of scripture? Remember, we're starting with the evidence first. The second step is interpretation. So step one, observation. What do I see? Step two is interpretation. What does it mean? So what do I see? Now I'm on step two. What does it mean? What does it mean? Because I'm going to tell you all like this. Listen to me. Step two is where you have a lot of people misinterpreting scripture. And a lot of people misinterpret on step two because they're not applying good Bible study practices when it comes to interpretation. Please understand and know, you all, that the Bible is an awesome book. But please understand, there's some things that you have to understand. There are some gaps that separate us from the people of the Bible. You got cultural gaps. Come on, somebody. You got historical gaps, literary gaps. So there's a number of different gaps that separate us, and we got to know how to faithfully fill in those gaps and how it can help us with properly interpreting. So again, observation is what do I see? Interpretation is what does it mean? Then the last step is application, because that's the end result of Bible study, you all. We're not participating and engaging in Bible study just so we can say, ooh, I studied the Bible, ooh, I feel good. No, the end result is application. I want to know, how can I apply this to my life? And then how can I turn around and help somebody else apply it to their life? So in application, we ask this question, you all, how does it apply to me? How does it apply to me? So again, you got observation. What do I see when I look at the text? Interpretation. What does it mean? Meaning, what do I see? What does it mean? And in application, how does it apply to me? So I'm going to tell y'all like this. I'm excited, you all. Ooh, I'm excited because this is my lane. Do you hear me? This is my lane, and I love Bible study. And I'm going to love going through this series with you all. This is going to allow me, you all, a good reason to grab some of my Bible references at home that I have, and my books and my concordance and Bible dictionaries and thesaurus and all that good stuff, and be able to talk to you all about those things and share with you how you can use those references to help fill in the gaps, to help knock down the barriers as you seek to study the Word of God. May God bless you and may He keep you. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for allowing us to be able to spend time here today and to be able to just talk about the importance of studying your word. Lord God, we ask that you be with us as we start this journey of looking at and learning this effective approach and method to studying the scriptures. Oh, Lord God, we look forward to posing the question, what do I see when I'm observing? Oh, Lord God, what do I see? Lord God, we look forward to saying, what does it mean when dealing with interpretation? And oh, Lord God, we look forward to the end result. How does it apply to my life as it relates to application? Lord God, we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.